Luciferian endgame. What's happening?
Well, you just jump right into it.
Oh, man, let me tell you. That's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. I mean, if it's to get there, we've got to connect some dots kind of before we jump into the last hurrah, as it were. But basically, if there's an entity by the name of Lucifer, and of course I believe that there is, this guy is like a super scientist. He's not a guy in a red suit running around with a pitchfork like so many movies and comics.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy is like he's incredibly intelligent, probably a super scientist in the sense that if we're able to manipulate DNA, and we are, right, we've just accessed that in the last 40 or 50 years, what if this guy was able to access that DNA thousands and thousands of years ago? What if by accessing some of that DNA, let's say, you know, in previous shows we've discussed the Nephilim, the giants, the whole idea of fallen angels mm-hmm. mating with the women of Earth and the offspring being in the Nephilim. But what if they messed around genetically and some of the Greek mythos like the centaur, the minotaur, that type of a thing? What if that type of genetic manipulation is actually happening right now? And what if some of that is going to, for instance, let me skip forward. The book of Revelation paints a portrait of these creatures coming out of this, what it calls the abuso, the abyss.
Yes.
Abuso in Greek, abyss in English. And whatever these creatures are, I mean, they are just bizarre. Hair like a woman's face, you know, teeth like a lion, tails like a scorpion. I mean, this guy who's looking at this, John on the Isle of Patmos, is seeing this vision. He's describing it as best he can. Now, some people will look at that and say, well, how can that possibly be literal? And I believe that it just may be literal. And the reason for that is I once had an interview with a guy from Amgen. Amgen they basically work in genetics. That's what they do. And it's pretty much a national company, and it's cutting-edge stuff. And this guy was like, you know, he had access to certain things. But what blew me away is when he discussed the fact that they took the DNA of a firefly and crossed it with a frog, and the frog would light up, basically glow in the dark. Now, that's just what he knows.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what he told me. Think of, you know, what might be happening in some of these underground labs. Think of the combinations that may be occurring, and of course, you know, we're not going to know about them, and maybe in the United States they're not, but what about other countries that have access to this? So getting back to your question of a Luciferian endgame, I think that when this thing finally manifests, when he finally kind of, it's like full disclosure, this is what it is, and of course we're leaping towards the end of the story without, you know, connecting some.
This is like a flashback in a movie, because then we're going to go back to what really happened.
There you go. I think when it comes with all lying wonders and total deception. I think that most people on the planet will look at this thing and embrace it. I think it will happen after some sort of a incredible, probably a nuclear holocaust somewhere on the Earth, more than likely in the Middle East. That's where I would pinpoint it. And at that point, I think it's full disclosure. I think it's full alien disclosure. In other words, it's kind of like the Independence Day scenario where UFOs are over the cities of the world.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, you know, that mile-wide UFO was seen, spotted in the English Channel by two different pilots in two different airplanes.
And then later on, another large object or objects spotted over the United Kingdom in another region.
There you go. And to me, it's ramping up. To me, it's like they're getting bolder. I mean, if this thing was a mile wide, I mean, can you imagine waking up one morning, turning on CNN or Fox News or whatever, and there above the city of Los Angeles or Jerusalem or Paris or wherever.
Or all of them.
Or all of them simultaneously are these craft. Everybody's worldview is instantly changed. Instantly changed. And unless, I mean, I believe that this whole thing is ramping up into a deception. In the new book, Politics, Prophecy, the Supernatural, Luciferian Endgame, I get there, you know, step by step by step as to why I think this is where it's headed. It's kind of like peaking to that. I believe all the signs are there, and I think when this war, this nuclear exchange happens, more than likely in the Middle East, that's the trigger, the supernatural trigger, bunch of these guys will then manifest.
You've got some heavy hitters who have written comments on the back of your book, and what I noticed, which was clever and also surprising, is the other heavy hitter was you. So I'm going to read it, because on the back of your book is your quote, and it says, The present political landscape is in direct correlation to supernatural events that happened, in some cases, millennia ago. What do you mean by that?
Okay, that's a mouthful, and I'm going to repeat it one more time because it goes by so quick, and I know when I first thought on it, I wrote it down and just stared at it for about 5 minutes. The present political landscape is in direct correlation to supernatural events that happened, in some cases, millennia ago. And, of course, what I mean by this is that here in the United States, and here's just a real simple example that we can take a look at and everybody agrees, we celebrate Christmas. It's a national holiday. What are we celebrating? Whether you believe or not believe is beside the point. You're celebrating a supernatural event that happened roughly 2,000 years ago. You're celebrating the supposed virgin birth of this guy Jesus. Now, whether it's true or not, I mean, that's for, you know, you guys to decide.
Sure.
But that's, nonetheless, you know, this culture, the American culture, is steeped in supernatural events. Let me give you another one. A couple of months later, we celebrate the same guy Jesus' resurrection. I mean, how much more supernatural and bizarre do you want to get? And those are just two. The Israelis, the Jews in Israel, believe in supernatural events. Some of those supernatural events are Moses parting the Red Sea, the Ten Commandments being given to Moses, the Ten Plagues of Egypt, the Passover, which is roughly 4,000 years old, is still celebrated today. What happened then? The angel of death passed over the firstborn of the Israelis and killed the Egyptians, which caused Pharaoh to let them go. Now, either it's clever mythos, which I'm inclined that it is not mythos. I believe there's lots of truth there. In fact, I believe it is the truth. And so supernatural events have literally shaped the world. I mean, we are living the current political landscape, what we see in the world, specifically in the Middle East, what's happening globally is in direct correlation to those events. Our worldview in the United States has been shaped by those supernatural events.